Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, the 13th of September. Welcome back to round two of this special five-round exhibition podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha, filling in for Simon Brown this week. On the show today, we have Pietri Redlinghuis chatting the version Berate update. We're going to be chatting to Ranzo Mukanzi around the stagflation concept and understanding that. And we're also going to be looking at the investment case that's being made for Alphabet Inc. by Momentum. This show is proudly brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines for you this morning. We've got oil slipping as demand jitters ahead of the US CPI and the OPEC report that's coming out. Higher anti-dumping duties imposed on tires from China. We've also got news around the possibility that Eskom's code red could definitely all affect us over the next coming year. Possibility of 94% of the coming year being subject to load shedding. So that's always going to be a fun time. Morning market updates. We have the Rand trading slightly firmer, sitting at about 17 Rand 12 at the moment. We have gold sitting at around 17 Rand 21. US markets traded overnight positively. S&P was up about 1%. NASDAQ was up about 1.2%. Asian stocks in early trade this morning. Tokyo's up about 0.3%. Korea's up about 2%. They came back from a holiday, and it looks like they were very excited to get back into the markets.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pietri Redlinghuis from Herenia Capital. Morning, Pietri. Thanks for the early morning. So, Braid had this update that they put out yesterday, a voluntary update, just giving us a sense of their Virgin Active business. I mean, we know they're a 70% shareholder there, giving us a couple of updates around their Premier business as well as their New Look business. What did they have to say?
So, look, I think relatively positive things. I mean, they'll be doing a presentation essentially at the Morgan Stanley conference in the coming days. So they're putting out, and they'll be discussing a lot, I suppose, in a lot more detail, some of the progress that they've made, as well as some of the challenges that they face with those respective businesses at this conference. So they felt it prudent to put out a trading update, just to share the information with the general public before they, you know, stand on a stage somewhere with a bunch of bankers and give the update to closed, you know, behind closed doors as such. But generally what they're saying, particularly if you look at the Virgin Active business, is that, you know, things are returning to normal. They're starting to reach that 2019 level. They're not quite there yet, but they are starting to see a significant recovery in that business. They do warn, though, that, you know, in Spain, for example, in Italy, that there is a bit of a slowdown in the, return to gym. People are still under a little bit of pressure. Obviously, the European situation is relatively bad, and that this inflationary pressure that they're seeing on, you know, I suppose, price and therefore consumer behavior is starting to affect them a little bit as customers begin to prioritize their spending rather on groceries and other things, instead of gym membership. And also what they are struggling with a little bit, in Europe at least, is that a lot of people are working from home still and haven't yet fallen back into their normal routine of going to the office and then going to gym before or after work, right? So the work from home, call it revolution, is impacting them a little bit in terms of their membership numbers. But in all other regions of the world, it does seem to be going relatively well. They're returning to 2019 membership levels, and the business is returning to profitability. So I suppose that's all the detail that they give for now. But it's looking pretty good, I'm not going to lie to you. So we see that their share price has recovered quite a bit as well in recent times. Still a long way to go, to be fair, but getting there.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of shares that aren't trading where we thought they would be trading at this point. But I think with Brayton, with especially with Virgin, I mean, we know that they recently, it was quite a while ago, announced that Kauai and New were going to become part of their acquisitions, and they're going to take over sort of that aspect of it. I mean, for the longest time, we always assumed that just because we saw them inside their gyms that they were owned by Virgin, but that's only been sort of a recent development. The inner city clubs that are sort of underutilized, do you think they'll close them down the same way Massmart is starting to do with sort of your unprofitable game stores, or do you think there's still value once people then start to get out of their work from home habits?
Well, I think what we're starting to see, and I mean, they kind of allude to this, is that we, you know, we see a permanent change in consumer behavior post-COVID. So even though lots of companies are starting to put pressure on their staff, like if you look at some of the banks, for example, in the US, are starting to put quite a lot of pressure on staff to say, look, you've got to be at work at least 3 times a week in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Even though companies are sort of being forced into this corner where they have to start playing really nasty with staff to get them to come to the office, staff don't want to go. We've proven that we can work from home. And look, the circumstances under which we proved that was somewhat unfortunate, let's be honest, but it's completely possible, and it doesn't, in fact, you know, impact anybody's productivity. In fact, it probably makes them more productive because it gives them higher quality of life. They don't have to be stuck in traffic for 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I don't know, hey, to be honest with you. I think what we start seeing is, and I mean, these things take a long time, but I think we start seeing this inner city office space slowly being transformed into living quarters, to homes. And then you have to ask yourself, I mean, maybe there is a space then for these gyms to stay in those areas, because as people, for the next couple of years, people might not travel into the city center so much, so the gyms are under pressure. But at some point, those empty offices turn into apartments, and people might then once again have demand for the gyms, right? Because now there's a whole new customer base that lives there. So I don't really know how that transformation takes place. I mean, I'll tell you what I would do if I was in Brayton's shoes. I'd stick it out and wait for this transformation. It's going to take 3 or 4 years, but, essentially you'll have more customers, quote-unquote, closer to your door.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, until then, you and I will be working from home. Anyone's looking for us, Pietri and I will be working from home. Thanks very much, Pietri. That's Pietri Redlinganes from Herenia Capital chatting to us about Virgin Active and the recent Brayton update.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Ranzo Mukanzi from Future Growth, looking at the concept of stagflation. Now, this is a very technical thing. I mean, there's a lot of technical definitions around it, and I mean, we know that the broad definitions include things around high inflation coupled with low economic growth, and sometimes that's occasionally sprinkled with high unemployment, which sounds very much like South Africa on a normal day. Ranzo, your thoughts on this? What's stagflation for the basic South African out there? Explain it in simple English.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thank you very much. Thank you. Put it well, really. Stagflation is really a period marked by weak or weakening macroeconomic growth and increasing or heightened inflation. And then, as you said as well, often coupled with heightened unemployment as well. So not too dissimilar to what you've experienced domestically for episodes over the past 10 odd years.
Yeah, no, this pretty much sounds like an everyday situation in South Africa. I mean, we look at countries like the UK that are battling with what they now consider potentially heading towards stagflation, and their inflation is at 10%, their unemployment is at 3.8%, and they're all freaking out. And you look at South Africa, and we're like, okay, well, our inflation is not that high up. We're sitting at about 7.7%. We've We know our economic growth averages at 1, maybe 2% if we're having a good year, but our unemployment is sitting at 40%, and this ticks all the boxes to sort of say South Africa is pretty much living in stagflation on a constant basis. How does this then affect South Africa sort of practically? How does it affect your everyday South African relative to something like a recession?
Sure. So I think the big impact we're seeing now is primarily on the inflation side. The central bank has done well to contain domestic inflation. In the past couple of years, it's really anchored, been well anchored at around 4.5%. And what we've seen globally is the consequence of the supply side shocks, initially from COVID, and then subsequent to that, of course, due to the Russia and Ukraine war, the biggest cross-border conflict pretty much since the Second World War. So you've had these very two big global macroeconomic shocks, and domestically how it's manifested significantly is really in our inflation, where we've seen inflation de-anchor from that 4.5% odd we've had in the past couple of years to just short of 8% with the July print now. So that's really the impact to the man on the street, is the inflation hit to their pockets pretty much, where inflation has gone, as I've said, from about 4.5% to just short of 8% that we've seen now. Maybe from a broader macroeconomic perspective as well, the risk that we'd see in terms of our investment landscape is to the fiscal channel. And that's really just speaking to government finances. This mix of low growth, high inflation has potentially significant risks to government finances and by consequence, I guess, all of us citizens of the country.
Yeah, now you mentioned government finances, and that's the interesting thing, right, is government finances ties into social grants. It ties into infrastructure expenditure by the government. It ties into the ability to finance ESCOM in bailouts and that sort of thing. The ripple effects that come with government finances being adversely affected stretch far beyond what you and I sort of see on an everyday basis, and they can actually come to a fundamental crippling of the country in some respects if they're not adequately managed. But now from an individual perspective, right, and just before I let you go, from an individual perspective, how do you then manage your portfolio to hedge against stagflation? I mean, we know that if you're looking at things around inflation and those sorts of things, your inflationary hedges are typically things like gold. What we've seen recently is the US dollar and that sort of thing. But how do you then hedge your personal portfolio against the effects of stagflation?
So I think firstly you need to be convinced that we are in a period of stagflation, and perhaps my counter to that would be that central banks have responded very strongly to the effects of heightened inflation. We're seeing that both in the developed world as well as domestically. But if we are to be concerned about stagflation risk, a safe asset in this environment I think would be cash, where you want to move away from risk assets, be it equities or bonds. And you want a heavier than usual holding in cash to protect you from the erosion of your buying power as a result of inflation. So I think we're yet to be fully convinced, just given the extent to which central banks have responded to the risk. But if we are convinced of that, then the best risk asset in this environment, in our view, would be cash.
You heard the man. Ranzo said it, cash is king. Thanks very much, Ranzo Mokanzi, portfolio manager at Future Growth.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
While some view that cash is king, others are making an investment case for certain stocks. We're going back into the tech space, chatting now with Fahima Adia from Momentum Securities. Good morning, Fahima. So, you guys put out a stock pick on Alphabet. Now, I'm always bullish tech stocks, and in recent times we've sort of seen tech stocks take a bit of a hit. We know that this is expected to recover at some point, and you've gone for sort of one of the safest tech stocks that we have. Why Alphabet?
Yes, so I think Alphabet is mostly known for its search engine Google. But apart from that, Alphabet also has some other very favorable products such as YouTube, Google Cloud, and the other bet segment. What mostly attracted us to Alphabet is that big focus and investment in artificial intelligence and machine learning, which gives it a competitive edge. It's also been using this to improve web searches and bring new features to advertisers. So that's really having a big impact on both revenue and earnings. If you look at the results for last year, it was strong with revenue up almost 41%. And the second quarter of this year, revenue increased by about 13% despite quite a challenging macro backdrop. What we also like about the business is that it's highly cash generative. So last year it reported a cash flow of about $18 billion. And it's good to note that it did return some of that back to its shareholders. It also has very low levels of debt and good returns on equity, which has historically been above 18%. If you look at the company's management, it's now being run by Sundar Pichai at a group level. He's done a pretty good job there, Jeremy, since he started at Google in 2015. The company recently combined leadership roles to make him the CEO of the parent company. And we think this was a positive move and enables one leader to now drive the vision of Alphabet forward. If I could maybe just delve into the valuation, as you mentioned, you know, tech stocks have been hit pretty hard this year due to all the market volatility. So if you look at the tech-heavy NASDAQ, that's down almost 22% to date. Alphabet similarly has fallen in line with that by about 23%. So we think there's now a really great opportunity to buy this quality company at a discount price. So it's trading at a very low forward PE in comparison to its peers and also its historical average. If you look at it from a consensus point of view, 50 analysts have a buy recommendation, and the expected upside 1 year forward is 28%. So while there's likely to still be quite a bit of volatility in the market over the next few months, we do think that this is a solid company for one to hold over the long term, and it should start to show recovery once the markets begin to stabilize.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is the markets might not have bottomed out, but it's a very good time to start averaging in here at these price levels, given that we're targeting 28% upside. So you might not be able to get your best price in now, but as it dips a bit lower, very good time to start averaging in. In terms of the ad revenue, how do you think their ad revenue is going to perform, given that a lot of what YouTube's model has shifted to now is sort of looking at increasing that ad revenue, particularly if we look at the fact that earnings over the coming year are going to be so important from an ad revenue perspective?
Yes, so the ad revenue has shown decent growth. While it has been a bit down last year due to the challenging macro backdrop, we do think they're investing a lot in this area. Like I said, in terms of the focus on artificial intelligence and machine learning, that's really helping to improve web searching, and with that comes the ad revenue for advertisers. They're able to just optimize that better for the advertisers, and we think they should start to see improved revenue coming from that in the future as well.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, with, as you said, with the growth of artificial intelligence and machine learning, we can definitely look at the changing landscape around things around like Web3 and that sort of thing. Should we be looking at alternative stocks like Meta at this stage, given that they also have this huge focus on Web3?
Yeah, so I think the issue with Meta at the moment is the stock has taken quite a knock recently. You will see it's down quite a bit because it missed, you know, consensus targets. So we do think that Meta's one to keep an eye on as well, also trading at very low PEs. And, you know, they're focusing on the metaverse now and, you know, they're really diversifying their products there. But their advertising business was, you know, hit as well. So I do think Meta is one to also have on your radar, but maybe not one to get in right now. Maybe we would wait for that one to bottom out a bit before we take a closer look.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Fahima. Thanks for your time this morning. That's Fahima Adia from Momentum Securities, just giving us her thoughts on Alphabet.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Well, that's all from me today. Remember, keep listening to the podcast live every morning at 6:30, or you can download the podcast just after 7 a.m. from the MoneyWeb website or from the app. Thanks to the MoneyWeb team. Thanks to my guests this morning for their early morning contributions. But most importantly, thanks to StanLib for paying the bills. Be sure to visit StanLib.com to chat to one of their investment advisors. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. All right, I'm on my way out. Have a good day, everybody, and we will chat tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the Money. Also available on podcast.